Let's get this over with. Good day, beer planners. Welcome back to another episode of the Beer Plans Podcast. I had the feedback in my ear. That was confusing the shit out of me. All right, so. Oh, damn. Everybody mad depressed. We didn't even clap it up. I said, welcome back for another episode of the Beer Plans Podcast.
Yay.
All righty. How is everyone doing? How are my fellow Americans? You are looking amazing. You are looking great. I guess we can just skip the pleasantries and jump right into it. So there was something that happened on November 5th. Little thing. I think it was the trade deadline for the NFL. Like, that shit was crazy. I just thought I knew the Ravens was going to get a pass rusher. Eric was talking about, yo, they should get Crosby from the Raiders. That's insane because we know Eric DaCosta don't give up high draft picks like that, and Las Vegas wasn't going to part with him.
Whatever you got to do, Vinny, for the pain.
Wait, is there something else?
Whatever you got to say for the pain.
You got an Emmy to play along, bro. I got an Emmy to play along.
So let's get right to this. This is the retrospective. Share raw thoughts, some raw, some filtered thoughts about what happened with this election. So, in case you didn't know, Donald Trump is now the president-elect. He will be only the second person in American history to serve two terms that are split by another presidency. I think as of right now, and when we're recording this, all states have like finished counting their votes officially, except for Arizona, but the race has been pretty much called. So the only question that's left now is who will have the majority in the House, because Republicans have picked up, they picked up 4 seats in the Senate, so they now control the Senate, 53 to 46, mm-hmm. and in the House, the current count as of right now, it may change by the time you hear this, is 212 for Republicans, 200 for Democrats, with the Republicans needing 6 more seats to win the majority and Democrats needing 18 more seats. So we'll see how that goes. But I think a good place to start here is we can go around the room and everyone can take a couple minutes to talk about, like, what was your initial raw reaction to the results? Has that reaction changed at all since Tuesday, Wednesday morning, we'll say?
So who wants to go first?
I'd go first.
By all means.
My initial reaction, so I was getting my hair done when this was going on, and I had the pleasure of watching reruns of Martin.
Okay, self-care.
So for at least 4 to 5 hours, it wasn't, even though election was going on, I had already voted and all that, my husband and I went when they opened, and so I really wasn't even thinking about it. And then it was after having an awesome little self care, getting my head done. I got to talk to my home girl. We had a little session, and all that. Then I went to my father's house, and me and my sister was talking. Then I went home, and it hit me. I was like, my husband was in the house pacing. I'm like, oh man, what's going on? And I just was sitting there. And I just felt it around like 11 o'clock. I'm like, yeah, she lost and he won. My initial feeling was like, okay, all right, what does this mean? Like, all right, where do we go from here? The sadness didn't really hit until the next day. Like, the next day, that's when I felt like, damn, like, what's going to happen? And the immediate thought after that is, I don't want to live in fear. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like it was a whole bunch of, the world was about to, it was already, the world was about to end mm-hmm. before the fact. If you don't do this, the world as we know it, America as we know it, it's going to be over. And then the shit happens and it's still just, oh my God, Trump is the worst. See, I can't believe this happened. We're going to go down. And da, 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 da. It's just like, I'm really not trying to live in fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want, I can go. All right. So my initial reaction was kind of no reaction. It was kind of like, okay. And the reason I say that is because ever since Kamala entered the race, it's been essentially a toss-up. Like, no one had any, there was no clear winner when she entered the race. So literally, you know, you're talking, what, like 6 or 7 million votes difference in, like, you could be having a completely different conversation right now. Also, part of my reaction was a bit of confusion, only because, like, I can understand people's emotional reactions because, you know, a lot of people were very invested in this. A lot of people was very invested in her candidacy. But the confusion part came from because everyone knew how, like, close the race was. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was a bit confused as to, like, how people thought, like, why people were, like, shocked at the outcome because it was such a toss-up. I saw things that was kind of weird, like, I don't know why I venture into the hood and go on Twitter, but I saw things like there was something trending, 20 million was trending for a while because they were, like, there was people saying, oh, she should demand a recount, she shouldn't concede because how is it that this is the most, election turnout in history, but there's there's 20 million less votes. And it's like, well, first of all, like, at this time, 6 states hadn't finished counting, so there's that. Relax. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's other weird stuff trending. So I think that's where my confusion came in. But all in all, like, I think my reaction was pretty even keel, and I think most of it came from just my observations, or what I felt was my observations throughout the year, really, but especially, like, the last few months when she was the other candidate in this election. That's pretty much it. I had no emotional reaction one way or the other, which is probably weird, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
Gotcha. Alright, so can I give a quick story? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Story time with Flat.
It won't be quick.
It will be.
It was a dark and stormy. Oh, wait. We're in a new America. It was a dark and stormy night. It was the darkest and stormiest.
So stormy.
And I don't mean Daniels.
Daniel says.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, man. But so I hope we get the intro on it because I want you guys to hear the part that I was talking about. But I don't know if you guys watched Batman, like the Dark Knight, where the Joker was in it. But essentially what happened in this movie, you had the Joker, who the whole premise was he wanted to prove to Batman that people are ultimately bad and that they don't deserve to be saved. And essentially he was like, people pretend to be high and mighty. And although we pretend that we have a higher nature, we're ultimately terrible people. We ultimately don't deserve to be saved because we're rotten from the core. And he was like, when the chips are down, we all turn on each other. And to prove this, what the Joker did was he took two boats. And one boat was filled with inmates and convicts that were on a boat. And then on the other boat, it was just regular civilians or ordinary citizens that were there. And essentially what he did was he put bombs on both boats. And he was like, look, you guys have X amount of hours to decide to blow up the other boat. And if you blow up the other boat, you live.
Oh, wait, is this the cartoon or is this the...
This movie.
Oh, the movie, that's right.
So he was like, basically, the Joker said, I have bombs attached to both you guys. So he told the inmates, I have a bomb on your boat. Civilians, I have a bomb on your boat. Whoever hits the button first to blow up the other boat, they live. If you take too long, they're going to blow you up. And remember, like, the longer you wait, you might not live because they may decide before you do. So essentially, Batman runs around trying to stop it and... Joker was basically trying to prove, like, look, they're going to choose self-preservation all the time. Essentially, what happened was, and there was a whole lot of rationality. People had all these good reasons why they should blow up the boat, why they shouldn't blow up the boat. But essentially, what it came down to was, look, these are people on the other side. So we're not going to do it. We're going to sit back and whatever happened, happened. But I'm not going to justifiably kill another human being. After this election, I feel like the Joker was right. So much so that when you take... Just from a very human perspective, this election showed who we are as a country. To give a better perspective on that, take away that whole scenario. I saw a movie called The Box, and I asked a good amount of people, if you can get $50 million to push this button on a box, but you would kill somebody else that you don't know, that has no connection to you, mm-hmm. would you hit it? Only two people said no. Everybody did. So essentially what it is and what this election has shown me is it showed us more who we are as a country. And it shows that, to me, the country I thought that we had isn't there. I thought that we had higher principles. I thought we would be more solid as a country. But the reality of it is we're terrible people. and things that we say that we are, and the country that we say we are, we're not. So that being said, I personally am not even sure that we deserve to be saved. I don't know if we deserve a Batman, because at the end of the day, when you try to do right and when you try to do everything to try to get the country better, it always chooses to do the worst. So to me, it was just the regardless of what Trump does in these next coming years, do I think it's going to be bad? Yeah. But the most disappointing thing about this election, I don't feel scared. I'm just disappointed of the reality of who we are as a country. Hopefully that makes sense.
And is that what your like raw initial reaction was?
That's my reaction now. That was the first one and the one now.
Okay, so yours is that was your reaction and has remained fairly the same.
Yeah.
You know
does
what?
That make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Because when you was talking about it, it hit me. I hadn't thought about it because I haven't watched it. That was a Dark Knight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing movie. I haven't watched The Dark Knight in a while. But that was very Hobbesian of Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so you, like I said, we arrived to the same place, just through took different roads. So, like, that's like poli-sci 101, right? Like Thomas Hobbes had his political philosophy, the thesis of his political philosophy was essentially that, like, man will always act in his own self-interest, and you know so that tends to be what we observe, while a more Lockean perspective is, you know, the one we aspire to, which is that, you know, everyone has these innate natural freedoms and we all agree to certain rules in order to protect everyone's natural freedoms. But then you see election outcomes like this and it confuses people, because they're like, how could you choose to do that? So what the Joker did was the classic prisoner's dilemma. It's just game theory. Essentially, you have two people and they're presented with these options. And essentially, if you, like you said with the Joker, you have two boats full of people. If they click the button, then they live. But if they don't click the button, there's a chance that they could die. It's a bit more simplified than the prisoner's dilemma, mm-hmm. I guess. But like, but they know that there's someone else that has that same choice and that there's a chance that they could click the button. And the predicted outcome happens every time, which is they both click the button and everybody dies, because everyone's choosing to act in their own self-interest. And I do agree that that does encapsulate the results of this election a lot. I just have a different spin on it. But yeah, I think everyone has a lot of raw emotions. I've seen full gamut, and shout out to our compatriots, our comrades who couldn't be here today, you know.
Yeah, we had to say that.
For Mr. Only Brown and D-Loss. Yeah,
we on a
mission. We said we're going to get straight to it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck the pleasantries, right? No. But yeah, so I guess from there, like, we can sort of get into some deeper things. And I don't know if there's anything that anyone is particularly passionate about discussing, be it a nuance to the election or the results or what they feel like it means or anything like that. But otherwise, I mean, we could talk about, like, actually, this is a great thing to segue into. Like, what do you guys think this election says about us as a country? You kind of touched on it, so you can go ahead. You can go ahead first.
Yeah, no, I mean, I stand by it. I mean, I just feel like it says that we just aren't a good people as a country. And I feel like at the end of the day, like, I get, like, the fact that people are saying economy, 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 but my thing is to let somebody come on, and you can have the debate on whether you believe Trump is a fascist or not, but when you give him the powers of somebody to even have that potential to be a fascist, that's a bigger issue. The reality of it is, by the time this thing is all said and done, he has the potential to have the House, the Senate, Supreme Court, and he has immunity backing him up to do whatever he wants. And my thing is, I would hope that people were able to see the bigger picture and be like, yo, look, this is dangerous. Like, at the end of the day, we can sit back and nitpick with Kamala. And again, I think Stephen Colbert put it best. He was like, look, debating about the economy and electing Trump is the equivalent of trying to figure out what color to paint your house when your house is on fire. And it's like, yo, we got bigger issues. And like I said, I mean, me personally, look, I didn't do the best I could to tell y'all this is what it was. Like I said, I felt like we were back in 2016. I was doing the same thing. People asked how bad it could be, and it got bad. And now people are like, oh, all right, now we're trying to get stuff back to what it was before then. It's going to be that again.
What I said that, didn't I say that in the group chat? It feels real October 2016 outside.
But I'm saying, right, but even if you go back one podcast before then, I've been saying this. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't nothing new. But all that to say, like, just it just genuinely just shows, like, look, we don't deserve a Batman. We don't deserve to be saved. Because the reality of it is, we keep choosing the wrong answer. I just feel like it's like a girl that keeps going back to an abusive boyfriend. You can come up with a whole bunch of good reasons why you're going to go back to him, but at the end of the day, the consequences still going to be the same. It's like, look, all right, at some point, yo, you do what you do, just don't call me. And I think that's how a lot of people are feeling right now. It's like, look, I mean, I think a lot of people, black people feel like, yo, racism still is a thing. I think a lot of women feel that sexism is still a thing and misogyny is still a thing. Whether it's true or not, the consequences are still the same. So it's like, yo, we chose not to go forward. We chose not to make that next step. We chose to stay and go backwards. So that being said, when those consequences come, most people in that point are just going to feel numb to it.
Okay. Melodies?
What did it say about America?
Yeah, what do you think this election says about us as a country?
I feel like the people are, I feel like the country is just fed up. I feel like there's so much going on in the world. We have access to all of this news and information constantly. And you're just bombarded with, oh, the wars is going on in this place. And then inflation is going on here. You can't survive. And then people are seeing money being filtered from America and going to these different countries to do these wars. And it's just like, I feel like America's got to the point where we don't know what to believe. We're over the shit. And it's just, we're at a crash out society right now. Like, some people are willing to burn the whole shit down just to get rid of it. Even if that, and they might not even be aware of, like, what that really means. Because in modern times, we haven't really seen it in America. So, like, a lot of, and, you know, we're spoiled over here. So, we don't really know what hardship is, like, how bad it could be. Like, we don't really know that. So you got some people that's like, fuck it, burn it down. We don't want to deal with the establishment no more. And if that means not voting and Trump winning, or voting for Trump and him winning, fuck it. And you got some people who still see the greater good. Like, okay, I know shit fucked up, but I'm not trying to just burn this shit down. We just got to figure out a way to get it done the best way. And those people probably voted for Kamala. But overall, I feel like the fed up people won. More people are fed the fuck up. So you got a lot of people who probably didn't vote. So that's automatically a vote for Trump. And then you got people who actually went ahead and voted him. And I'm not even like, I don't even want to be mad at anybody. I don't feel like the people who voted for Trump are all racist. I feel like a lot of black people switched their vote over to him on some crash out shit. Could have been, or they really truly believed it. But like, I'm not about to go in here and be like, oh, America's racist, everybody's racist, and we need to live in fear. Like, something happened, and at this point we really need to figure it the fuck out and hope that we can, he'll just be in there for 4 years.
Okay. I think that it says a few interesting things about the country. I largely agree with what you said, Melodies, and I agree with some of the things you said as well, Flash. So I'm going to try not to repeat those. And I'll say that I think that this showed, so I'll add to that and say that I think this showed that there's a bit more alignment with these sort of like electoral groups that, you know, that get polled than what we thought. When you look at the exit polls, and I'm not saying polls are, you know, fully accurate or any of that, but when you look at the exit polls, it's interesting. Trump did what I thought is, to me, what to me looks better with educated voters across various races and across the genders than I would have expected. It was a lot closer. He did better in a lot of states that were considered not battleground states. So in Maryland, where we live, he outperformed what you would have thought he would have performed. And he did, it's decently close from what I saw. And these are the NBC exit polls, by the way, for anyone that cares. But he did decently better across financial lines as well. So, like, of course, there's certain ones where, like, he outperformed. It's just the same thing with Kamala. But
there's a lot more women that voted for Trump than I would have thought, and there's a lot more men that voted for Kamala than I would have thought, or than what people are trying to presume out there with their Instagram posts, you know, in the aftermath of the election. I also think that it says that the electorate is savvy enough to separate issues from candidates when it matters. And so, like, what we were talking about off mic when I said that, like, there were 10 states that had abortion initiatives on their ballot, like constitutional amendments to protect or preserve of abortion. 7 of them passed, 3 failed. Nebraska has a weird carve-out, but essentially it failed to say abortion was legal flat out. Of the 7 that passed, Trump carried 4 of those 7 states, and he carried 7 of the 10 states that had abortion initiatives on the ballot altogether. And so I thought that was interesting because that's a direct critique of the foundational thesis of Kamala's campaign, which was on abortion, protecting women's rights. And it seems like on some level, the electorate said, abortion and women's rights, fine. We're cool with that. But this economy shit, we prefer this solution over here. And I thought that's probably one of the most interesting takeaways. I also think that Democrats learned a hard lesson that has been out there for a while about Latino voters. There's no such thing as a quote unquote Latino vote, because Colombian Americans have a unique experience and different issues that they care about and stuff from voters from Nicaragua, from voters that are from Puerto Rico, and so on and so forth. They have different associations and things that they respect about candidates, things that they look for in candidates, and you can't even bisect it by the country, only by the country that they came from. You got to look at their socioeconomic status, stuff like that. It's just more complicated than that. The Latino vote doesn't function like the Black vote, and I think you saw a lot of that in this election as well, that what's been there in the essence of things since 2016 still existed today, but even more forcefully, in that Latino immigrants that came here, quote unquote, legally, are like, no, I did it this way. They need to do it that way, too. That's how they feel, or seemingly how some of them feel. And others on the other side are like, well, I came here legally, but my mom's didn't. Or I was born here, but my mom's wasn't. And so I'm voting my interest, and I'm going to vote for Kamala in order to protect them. That's a fundamental
difference between the Black vote. Black people didn't have to have, we were brought here. We didn't have to have that. Coming over here to make a better way. So
yeah, our experience is unique and different. And I just think that the traditional thoughts of the voter blocks, I would hope that both parties, probably won't happen, but I would hope that both parties, but especially Democrats, will sit back and go, okay, let's really take a look at this and understand the what and why behind this. Let's look at it like, Let's set aside the misogyny and the racist thing, because we can debate all day till our faces are blue as to how much of an impact that had, if any at all. But let's look and see, like, let's look internally and see, like, where we fell flat. I don't think that'll happen, but I would hope so, because it would be for the good of the country.
Yeah. Black people too. The black
1,000%
black. Out of all elections, they need to be starting to be more scared about that.
No. I'll say this last thing, and I'll shut up. Here's the other interesting thing, according to exit polls. The Black vote was roughly flat 2020 to 2024. There wasn't as much of a shift as people thought there were going to be. There was, and black male voters and black female voters voted more, a bit closer in unison by percentage than they did in 2020. I'm going to mute up now.
Say something, but I'm not. Go ahead. Say it.
Just get it off. Who is it? Here. I promise I'll pause it.
I
didn't pause it, but good.
I just, even with that said, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like this is awakening something in Black voters, and we're really on some, like, you. Even if it was similar now, like the next election, I just feel like we gonna be on. The next election is gonna be crazy if it happens.
It's gonna
like
That's a whole nother concept.
I don't think people are going to... The black vote is going to be as easy to buy anymore from here on out.
I hope so. I think that would be great if that was the case. I think it would also be great if the black vote was a bit more savvy and knew how to vote in unison with certain topics and at certain levels and vote their interest in other topics. Because we always say, black people on the monolith. Mm-hmm. Okay, vote like it. Mm-hmm. But...
Okay, look at him. He's stressed out.
Yo, just like you gotta let it out. It's healthier when you get it out.
Like, I mean, honestly, all the so-called, like, all that stuff before, like, about weed, they looking at Kanye, all that's bullshit. It's not that. Like, it's literally, like, we pretending like these motherfuckers are sitting back on some well-thought-out, I'm gonna analyze how my vote goes, I'm looking at this. I've talked to these people. They not that deep. Like, it's just like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Like, yeah. You have some people that are neutral on that side, but to pretend like race isn't a factor in who's rooting for who is crazy.
No, I didn't say that. Hold on, I didn't say it was that deep.
Did I not?
I didn't say it was that deep. That's all.
Like I said, even with Trump, to sit back and pretend like race, gender, and all these things aren't a factor is crazy. And my thing is, again, whether that's online, whether that's people I know personally, I talk to these dudes. None of them are coming out with, well, you know, based off the logical theory of the economy and the law of satin. Like, yo, you not that deep. It's like you come up with all of these other things because you don't want to sound like a bad person. And like, to me, the one of the best examples I come up with is when I was going to vote. Mm-hmm. And it was this lady in front. And she out of nowhere talking about raised her hand and grabbed one of the poll workers. Talking about, why don't you have question 5 up there? And she's like, what are you talking about? You know, the one that the one for Baltimore County that lets the children have sex change without their parents' approval. That's not up for the vote. The fuck are you talking about?
What?
And I'm like, man. And I didn't even say, I'm like, man, that's not up for vote. That's not legal here. And she's like, well, no, it is. Look it up. Okay, shorty. Okay.
Who told you that, man?
But again, this ain't common. YouTube rabbit hole. I cannot tell you the amount of people, whether they, it goes across the gamut. In my job and walking the life, I'm blessed enough to come in contact with a good group of people. I can't say I can speak for all of them, but I think I have a decent representation of these people. Whether it's Jamaican immigrants, whether it's Mexican immigrants, whether it's white people, whether it's black people, I've talked to all of them that were voting for Trump. It all comes down to similar shit. Missed fucking information. They don't know a lot of shit, and they voting on the wrong shit. And then when you talk to them and show them, yo, this is this, they shut down because they don't know how to go against fact versus what they really believe. And my thing is to sit back and pretend like these some well-thought-out-ass, research-doing-ass people is disingenuous because, yeah, do you probably have some of those? Yeah. But the reality of it? No. No. And to give you another prime example, when they were going on this whole wild thing about COVID, it was a Trump supporter I know that sent me something talking about, oh yeah, see, it shows that hydroxychloroquine cures COVID. And in the paper, the first page of that paper, the first 5 sentences, we had no evidence that hydroxychloroquine cures COVID. You didn't even read the paper that you sent to me, but you saying that you did your research. Like, to pretend like these people are some, oh, well, no, they looked at the economy, they weighed options. I'm like, stop the cat.
It's a lot about how people feel. It's a lot about how you feel.
It's not even that. It's the fact that these
people. I feel like this is happening. This misinformation is proving this to me. I'm going down this road. And some people probably, like, they're probably only getting the shit that is fed to them.
Right. I think that.
You have to have a passion for this election and political shit to really know all of the shit y'all be knowing.
But here's what it's not a luxury. Like, that's something that you have to do because, again, like, it's just like Obamacare. Again, Trump keeps running on repealing Obamacare. Why couldn't he do it the first time? Because his base didn't know that they were on Obamacare. And the reason that their prices dropped was because they were on Obamacare. So again, when we go to these people and we pretend like they doing research or like they doing all these analytics, they are not. So that's the part to me that becomes the most frustrating.
They are not, and it's even harder when they feel like they can't buy food.
Right. Can I clarify? Let me finish this thought out. It becomes that much more frustrating we pretend like they're doing the same amount of research, like they're doing the same thing, because again, you'll get these people on Fox News and all these Republican sites talking about, I'm just asking questions, and then they just go. The same way that when Trump went on that debate talking about, oh yeah, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs, now all of a sudden, you got terror attacks going down where he was talking about they was eating cats and dogs at. It's like, again, at some point, we gotta stop pretending, bro. These people ain't out here doing research, they're not out here doing analytics, and the ones that are tend to be the people that want the worst for society. Let's just stop the cat.
So I wasn't, I personally wasn't saying that there are people, that everyone's sitting down doing research and making these insightful decisions. I was actually saying the opposite. What I was saying is that people are looking at their lives and they're making very quick decisions. The average voter is probably getting up to speed the day of the election. But so that, if not, but so hear me out. Hear me out. And so. Like I think Charlamagne made a good point when he said that you don't have to be smart to know you can't afford groceries. And so,
but you should know how to change it. Versus, because again, you can again make a terrible decision that puts you in a worse situation, which a lot of people.
That's
do.
According to you. But what people that's know. Realistic, here's what mean. I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: I think a lot. Most voters, the average voter, is pretty simple in their thought process.
Yes.
They and this actually speaks to another thing about the campaign. I don't know how deep of a rabbit hole y'all want to get into campaign strategy, but most voters are very simple. That's why simple messaging works. When I worked on a campaign. We had to pivot messaging because it was too complex, and you could think what you think about voters and what they should think and what they should care about, but most people, voting is a thing that they do when they can try to squeeze in that time in the shit that they actually care about in their lives.
So why am I going to sacrifice my time, my effort, trying to make it so that your life is better, and you making it seem like it's such a big deal?
I who the candidate?
Yeah,
oh, that's simple. Because you signed up for this. That's your choice. But that's a different conversation. Let me finish.
I'm just saying, in general, I'm talking about before I even get to that point. I'm saying, as a candidate, why should I focus on trying to do the better and make your life better when you're not trying to meet me halfway? So rather than sit back and say, I'm going to do the work, fight the fights to make sure your life is better, and you sitting back talking about, oh, well, I got this to do, and I'm making these second decisions, so I'm going to sit back and just make these quick second votes. All right, then fuck it. So then I can go the opposite route, and I can do it, Trump. I can promise you all of these things, work against you, take your money, and keep doing what I'm doing. What's the reason to do the first one?
Well, you, when you apply for a job, an interview for a job, the company you're interviewing for doesn't meet you halfway. You're trying to show them why you're the best candidate and why you should be selected. But that again, that's a different topic.
I'm just saying, right? But we're talking about politics, right? We're not talking about we're not talking about a regular job. You go for
so no one's obligated to run for office.
No, I've got you. But what I'm saying
so from the moment you from the moment you fill out that application. Not even the oath. From the moment you fill out the application and you prove that you are qualified to run as a candidate for whatever office, it's not even that. Before you even get to that, it's this simple. You made the choice. Because here's the thing.
Why should I not?
You signed up to do this shit.
That's what you signed up for. Here's the thing. I signed up for it.
That's like you being in your position. Like, I'm not going to save anybody.
Why I got to do all this hard work when they not meet me halfway?
Yeah, but hold on.
Y'all treat me like shit. But you still got to do it.
Right, but what I'm saying is, for the person that isn't doing it, he's getting rewarded. So I'm doing all the work.
He usually doesn't do that. All right, and we're back.
My bad. What I'm saying is, yeah, I signed off for this. But the person that signs up for it and cheats you, y'all love him. And y'all promote him. So then what's the reason that I'm going to fight these fights to do the opposite when a person that signed on to do the same job that I'm doing is doing it the wrong way and doing it dishonest way, but y'all seem to love him?
I think we're going down a different road. I don't
know if the people know that he's been cheating. They probably feel like he ain't been around to know that he has been cheating.
Right, but I'm just saying
that. But we know for a fact the system that has been... The dem system that has been going on forever is not what they want.
Right, but my thing is, again, then what's my reason for doing it the right way?
I think we're going down a different road.
I'm just asking an honest question. Because everybody's talking about the Dems need to look at themselves in the mirror. They need to do all of this. My thing is, if I'm a Dem right now, and I see what y'all voting for, and I see that the things that y'all going for, I see, okay, look, I don't really got to do much. I can just promise y'all this. It didn't go from that.
Except they didn't.
Hold on. You're missing my point. What I'm saying is, you're voting for somebody that is actively going against your interests. So my thing is, if I'm a candidate that is actively trying to do the right thing, rather than sit back and fight to say, all right, well, you know what, we're going to get Obamacare expanded, or we're going to do all these other things. You know what? I can do that and spend 4 years, 2 years trying to get that done and possibly lose on the next election. Or I could take this lobbyist money and then sit back and then work against it. And then should I lose, I'm still set for life.
The reason why I say that...
They've done that already.
The reason why...
Cool, so now they got a reason to do it. That's my point. Like, there's no real reason for you to fight for people.
Here's what I'm saying. And again, like I said...
For what? Y'all don't like integrity. Y'all voted the person that... Y'all voted for the least... Phil, you voted for a candidate that has the least amount of integrity. You voted for somebody that is actively a felon, that has actively got caught cheating, that has actively done an insurrection. So we can't sit back and say, because your integrity, because y'all shown that y'all don't want that.
But you still got to do it. You signed up for that shit.
That's the thing. We don't.
Because they don't. Turn and act like him if they wanted to.
Exactly. And what's the reason not to? And that's what I'm saying.
We're voting independent.
And cool, and they can do the same thing. That's the thing people don't realize is that you are giving these people 0 incentive to do the right thing. We can sit back and say, oh, but you signed up for this. Yeah, but we already seen that's not the reality for most things. And to sit back and say, I don't know how anybody would at this point. I'm not going to sit back and be like, all right, well, I'm going to sit back and fight this fight. For what? For what? They asked Dave Chappelle the same shit. They were like, yo, would you be an activist? He was like, for what? He was like, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, the one thing they had in common is that they both died broke. It's like at the end of the day, why? If they're not going to appreciate it. Y'all don't want it. Y'all show what y'all want. I'm not going to go fall on the sword for y'all and y'all not going to appreciate it. So at that point, I'm like, to me, going forward as far as politics, it gives no politician any incentive to fight the right fight. We don't deserve a Barack Obama. We deserve Trump. So it's like, look, here we are. Y'all show what y'all want. Y'all made that choice. So as we fall, let's just fall.
So speaking of all of that, like, how do y'all personally feel? Actually, we already talked about that. So, like, really the better segue is, like, what's the move going forward? Like, and we can talk about it. We can talk about it broadly.
Absolutely.
All right, next question. No, we could talk about it, like, scope to, like, for Democrats, for Republicans, and for the citizens. I will say this one thing, and then y'all can have the floor. The reason I said Democrats should take a look in the mirror is because they lost. I would have said the same thing. As a matter of fact, on a prior pod, I said that whoever loses this should do that exact thing. And I said the same thing before. I don't think that they will, but they should. The Democrats should do that in the same way a team that loses a game should do that. They should reflect on what went wrong, why they lost, and stuff like that. Whatever the outcome of that thought process is the outcome. I'm not saying what the outcome is going to be or what it should be, but there's a reason that they lost. It's not like Donald Trump won the presidency and Democrats retained the House and made gains in the Senate and took both houses of Congress. It's not like you had things reflective of like races at the state level either. You actually saw at the federal level that Republicans wound up having a red wave that no one was talking about, quote, air quotes on the red wave, in the sense that they picked up seats in the Senate. And some of that is just by nature of the fact that more Democrats were up for a re-election than Republicans were in the Senate. But they did their job and won their races nonetheless. And the same thing is looking like in the House, they're going to do the same thing. So it's not like there's this thing that's unique to Trump where he won and it was this aberration. And it's not like this is 2016 and this is the first time. And so everyone can resolve that, oh, this is just an anomaly. Something happened. And that's why I think that they should do some reflecting. Now, will they do that reflecting? I'm not confident that they will, because currently the sentiment that I see out there, and this might just be because of proximity since the election occurred, but what I currently see out there is things that have nothing to do with reflecting inward. And I'm not saying that the things that people are talking about are necessarily untrue. Some of it might be true, but I think that you don't make any real progress towards your goals as a party if all you're going to do is chalk it up to racism and misogyny. I don't think it's that simple. Like, let's think about this for a second. She underperformed. That's really what the results say. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why, unless there was broad cheating that somehow comes out down the road, which is fine.
Wait, also a good amount of misinformation going on amongst.
Okay, that's fine. So, but there's misinformation from the Republican side. We can. I nervously say this because I'm not trying to have this conversation. But there was also misinformation on the other side. They spent a year.
But it's not to
They spent a year calling this man the second coming of Hitler. They spent a year saying that this man was going to appoint himself president for life. That he was just going to circumvent the Constitution.
What did Trump's misinformation lead to, though?
Wait. Hold up. Here's the thing.
Trump's misinformation led to January 6th. Stop pretending it's the same because it's not. That's why I said to be cat, bro. You making it seem like
y'all
on the same page. And
exactly like I said, if that's the route that, and I'm not saying you're representing Democrats, but if that's the route and the mindset the Democrats want to take, they'll just continue to lose. That's okay. And I'm okay with either way because, like I said, I was just one vote in a state that was whose electoral votes were 7 electoral votes was going to the Democratic nominee regardless. But, like, there's plenty that the Democrats can look inward about. They could sit down and think and ask, has this track that we've been on since Obama, quote unquote, jumped in line in 2007, where we try to handpick our nominee, has this been the right road? Has it, like, circumventing the Democratic process in the primaries this year? Was that the right move? Did we take too long? If it was Joe Biden who was running on ego and it wasn't them trying to prop him up, did we take too long to say, tap him on the shoulder, bro, you did great. It's time for us to move forward. There's a lot that they could think about. Now, if they don't want to, hey, all good. We in the same room. Like I said, hey, they can do what they want. Now, from a Republican...
Can I just say one thing? Again, to me, it sounds like if America's a girl and Trump is an abusive boyfriend, again, it sounds like you're making up all these excuses, but you're going to choose them anyway. Like, you can be like, but, and for the boyfriend that you got now, yeah, but he wakes up late, or he chews crazy, or he sneezes loud. No, the reality is you was going to go back to your ex anyway.
But you know
that. And that's what I'm just saying. So, to me, all of this is a moot point, because I don't think that there's any moves that the Dems do that changes that fact. The reality of it is America's made its mind up because that's who they were going to decide on. And again, it shows who we are as a country.
Then nothing
so
changes.
To pretend like we said, like to pretend like it's all about these analytics, it's like, nah, at the end of the day, America showed who it was, and to pretend like it's anything different, to me,
here's
unrealistic.
Here's the thing. These trends, this is a new. These trends have been occurring since 2012, going into 2016. The foundation was laid, and Republicans and the position that they took of just going against whatever Obama did for the sake of trying to make him a failed president, their words in 2009, not mine, is part of what laid the foundation for Trump to be able to take advantage of that. In a way, all this nigga did was look at what people said they wanted and said, oh yeah, I could do that. We don't even got to sit right there for a second. You don't have to get into the details of how feasible it is or not feasible it is, because there's a lot of shit in her pile, in her platform that wasn't feasible. But that's neither here nor there. You don't have to say that. All you have to do is look at this. When people said, we care about the economy, the border, and the wars going on abroad, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to do this in September, then released a full point-by-point plan on his website about that. Kamala, he said, we care about economy, we care about the economy, we care about the border, we care about foreign policy. What are you going to do about that? And her thing was, it was difficult, and this is just me as a voter, looking at way too many interviews than I should have, because I could have been doing other things. Hold up. She didn't answer. Here's the thing. When you cut the sound bites and they reach the people who are the low propensity voters, who are the low, quote unquote, low information voters, the sound bites that was cut was her not answering those questions. The sound bites that was cut was her talking about abortion, which was the fourth ranked issue in this race, that you can't, like, your platform was about the thing that people care fourth most about. everything pointing like it's not like the, it's not like there's not it's not cap. So
I'm gonna tell you why.
So her platform wasn't about abortion.
No, what I'm saying is
so her main thesis of her platform wasn't about abortion. No, I just want a quick answer and then I'm gonna mute up. Yes or no? Was that her main platform?
That was one of her main points.
Yeah. One of? What was the other ones?
She talked about immigration because that was the other one because she was getting charged with that.
What did Kamala Harris say about immigration?
I don't know.
Okay, carry on. Would you? Oh wait! Before you say that, would you consider DJ Melody's a low information voter?
I'm not gonna say that she's not a low information.
He's gonna say yes.
I'm just saying
the way y'all debating the group chat. He's gonna say yes.
I'm just saying this.
But look, what do you think?
I'm saying this. Couple things. A, again, you pretending like these people be so well informed that they're not. Like again,
I'm not.
I'm
saying the opposite.
Hear me out. Because again, you are severely not giving enough credit to the amount of misinformation that part plays in it. Because the reality of it is, like, again, when you're talking about sound bites, the same way they did, like, again, the same reason that Charlamagne and Envy was suing Trump because they took a sound bite of them saying that Kamala Harris wants to give transgender surgery to inmates. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, that's not what we were saying. We were saying that started under Trump and that Kamala had no choice but to keep it going because she basically was stuck in a spot.
Kamala Harris ran ads saying that Trump was going to make a national abortion ban. And he said that he wasn't.
Let me finish. You keep going. So what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, when that goes, they played it during the NFL time, and that's the thought. And what I'm saying is,
they killed it with that.
Hold on. And what I'm saying is, even with
that, straight in the NFL, I was like, what is this?
Exactly. And that's my point. His messaging, the misinformation, goes a long way. And like I said before, you can pretend like their misinformation is the same, but it's not. When Kamala lies, it's just misinformation. When Trump lies, at least in January 6th, it's not the same.
Hold on.
You ain't seen no Dems,
right? I just want to understand this. It's okay to lie. As long as it doesn't lead to you said when Kamala lies, it's just a nice little white lie. No. When Trump lies, they try to take over the country.
What was the first sentence I said, Vinny? What was the first sentence I said?
No, is that not what you said?
What was the first sentence I just said?
Is that not what you said?
What was the first sentence I just said?
Yeah.
I'm asking you. Oh, you were paying attention.
Y'all got it. I did. But y'all got it.
What was the first sentence I just said? With that first sentence I just said?
The misinformation is different. It's okay. As long as it doesn't lead to
action. I got you. What I was saying was, again, to reiterate, their misinformation is not the same. When Trump has his misinformation, it leads to January 6th. It leads to people storming the Capitol. It leads to people dying. It leads to people getting locked up.
So it doesn't lead to...
You know I'm not saying that. You know, that's not my point. My point was, I never... Okay. Did I say it was okay?
Did I say it was okay?
Right, we can thread that. Did I say it was okay, though? Yes or no?
I said I'm going to let you thread the needle.
Exactly. I never said it was okay.
You're not saying it's okay, but you're like, well, it's not that bad. Exactly.
They're doing the same shit. Just because one side reacts differently than the other side don't change the fact that they're doing the same shit.
That's why I got the crazies.
So y'all think it's the same? Y'all think with Kamala's information campaign and Trump's misinformation campaign are the same?
I feel like, I don't know, I don't understand why she did that because, like, that's just making her look worse.
No, I hear you.
When you start swinging like they swinging.
I got you, but I just want to make sure I get this point.
Maybe, just maybe, don't do it.
So now the people are already questioning, like, look, as soon as they can play a clip and say, oh, he said, I'm going to protect women regardless if they want it or not. And then pushed it and said it, made it seem like he was saying, I'm going to do whatever I want to.
I get all of that.
When he was talking about migrants, right?
I get all that.
Immigration.
Hold on. I'm just getting all that. I just want to make sure I get to the point. Are we going to honestly sit here and say that misinformation from Trump and misinformation from Kamala Harris hit the exact same
people? I agree with you saying it doesn't. They got the crazy.
Because again,
I respectfully disagree.
Because laws get changed with Trump lies. Fucking January 6th happened with Trump lies. They changed voter laws because of his lies. Shit that was proven lies. Stop pretending it's the same. And nigga, you know it's not the same.
You know laws got changed when Obama lied, right? And but I'm an Obama apologist.
Hold on.
But laws got changed when he lied, right?
Hold on. Which one are we talking about?
Obamacare.
What about
What was the main point, one of the main points he made? Under the ACA, if you have, like the insurance you have, you can keep it. It won't change. after it passed and all the Supreme Court challenges went through and things went to Obama and went to the ACA being in effect, what happened? People's, that's crazy how that cat just casually hopped up. Oh my gosh. But, but, oh, it got all you?
You got in a drink.
Dang. Pull that out.
Pussy always causing problems. But anyway, when, so, and here's the point. Here's the thing. I'm not here to bash Obama. Obama came, did what he needed to do.
And we, hold right? on. So even all I'm saying, we're not talking about Obama. We're talking about Trump.
Like I said, like, again, that's why I said, but what I'm saying is the same. And I respectfully disagree. So here's the thing.
Him going to January 6th and getting voter suppression is the same as Kamala Harris.
There's people on Twitter in tears because they think he's going to make himself a dictator for life. They think he's going to cancel the amendment in the Constitution that sets the term limits for a president.
That's the same as January 6th? That's same as January 6th. Stop the cap, bro. You capping all this shit right now.
We're talking about misinformation having an impact on people.
And the impact levels of it. Yes. Motherfuckers crying on social media ain't the same as storming the fucking Capitol, nigga. You know it. Stop the cap. So again,
if you lie and it as long as it doesn't lead to direct actionable violence in front of the Capitol, it's okay.
Did I say it was okay?
That's what I'm inferring from what you said. I'm drawing that inference.
I said it's not the same. That's not saying it was okay. At no point did I say it was okay. What I said was they are not the same. And you trying to equivocate.
I think any damage caused is bad.
Hold on.
So therefore it makes it largely equal to me.
I'm going to ask some questions so I can make sure I got this clear and I'm going to fall out after this. So you're telling me the lies Kamala Harris said.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
is the same as the same amount of impact. It caused the same amount of damage that Trump lies had.
Yes.
All right. Then we got nothing to talk about.
Here's the thing.
You got it.
If I lie to you,
you got it.
And it causes you to do one thing, and he lies, and someone else lies to you, and it causes you to do something different. Did it not impact you in a way that is inaccurate? I'm confused right now. Like, I don't understand. Everyone wants to say that, like. Everyone wants to point and say, like, when we get to the point of trying to mitigate the impact of lies, we are in the wrong place of the conversation. That is all I am saying.
Because when you say
that the lies have a different impact, that the lies hit different, you're presuming that she lied. You're conceding the point that she lied. So if she lied during her campaign and he lied during his campaign, then you're now at a point where, okay, both these motherfuckers is lying to me. Now what do I believe? I don't believe none of this shit. Well, his shit sounds better than her, so I'm going to vote for him. Exactly what Melody said happened.
It's going to hurt her.
That's not.
It's going to hurt her. And that's what happened. It wound up, that's part of what happened. It wound up hurting her.
And so that logic right there is why we deserve everything that comes to us. Because
both the candidates lied to us.
Let me finish.
And we said we don't know what to believe.
Like I said,
the electorate was right.
So like I said before, and like I said in the group chat, if you really believe that Trump causing January 6th and voter suppression in Georgia, his lies that were proven to be lies in the Supreme Court, if you honestly believe that shit is the same as Kamala Harris and the shit that she was saying, and they caused the same amount of impact. Like I said, bro, at this point, we ain't got nothing to talk about. And if that's what everybody believes, then fuck it. We deserve what happened to us.
Question.
Like I said, let me finish. I'll let you go. So at the end of the day, like I said, if that's where it's at, then just stay on that side when shit go left. That's all I'm saying. I'm good. Y'all can have the rest. I'll leave it at that.
How does an amendment get added to the Constitution? What's the process? I'm asking for the room.
I don't even know, bro. I'm checked out. You got it. You got it. If we can't even have an honest conversation about the fucking lies being January 6th, I don't even know what to tell you.
I'm not lying to you.
I don't even know
what Unlike the two candidates that was just running for president, I'm not lying to you. I'm being honest.
You got it.
So how does an amendment get deleted from the Constitution? Anybody know? Like, how do you delete an amendment from the Constitution?
You probably make another amendment.
Exactly. You can't delete it. Do you think people crying that he's going to get rid of the amendment that sets term limits for presidents know that? The only way an amendment can even make it into the Constitution is it has to be proposed by Congress and ratified by 3/4 of the state. The president doesn't even have shit to do with it. So that's what I'm saying. That's the that so you said so when someone sits there and says, and a lot of people that was caping for her, and I feel like at this point it's coming out like I'm a Trump supporter and like I voted for him, but whatever, sure. but like same thing with people that was out, like a lot of people that was out there like stumping for her. When Charlemagne, month after month, repeats that he wants to subvert the election and he wants to make himself president for life and he's going to do this and do that, and when a lot of these things have been largely disproven, that is a problem. But when she sits there, she gets up on stage on CNN and says he is a – or no, she didn't say it directly. I want to make sure I'm disciplined in this. When Anderson Cooper asked her, do you think that he is a fascist? And she says yes. That is a problem because it's not accurate. Because when you ask people, okay, well, what is a fascist? What is fascism? And they can't explain it.
The nigga gave a definition. Stop the fucking cat.
What's
bro?
The definition?
Like, all right, I'll send you the clip.
No. Just let's.
No, I ain't gonna hold you because I'm gonna tell you his former chief of staff literally went through the dictionary definition and did a step by step. Outlet like okay. Hold on.
Which source do we want?
Hold on.
Do we want Wikipedia? Hold on. GPT.
We're playing on. Listen. Hold on.
Merriam-Webster.
Wow. All right. Hold on. Before we get to that point, right? And that's what I'm saying. This is a moot point. His former chief of staff, when he asked him, "Is Donald Trump a fascist?"
Mm-hmm.
He literally went through the definition of fascism and what a fascist is, and he was like, "It says this. Trump does this. It says that. It says Trump does this." That's what I'm saying. You can sit back and ask me. It don't matter. If your former chief of staff calls you a fascist, it's more than whatever I can say. And that's why I said we can put that shit on the Instagram for the Beard Plans joint and then let them decide, let them see how you feel about the shit. Because, again, I can sit back and view this shit all day. It's his people saying that. It's not just, random people on Instagram. No, people in his cabinet was calling him that. Okay. So, again, the cat.
Can we do this? Can I just read this? Mm-hmm. And then you can tell me if it was in line with what he said, because I didn't see the clip.
Okay.
All right. According to, we'll start with Merriam-Webster. According to Merriam-Webster, a populist political philosophy, movement, or regime, such as that of, let me start over. A populist political philosophy, movement, or regime that exalts nation and often race above the individual, that is associated with a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader and that is characterized by severe economic and social regimentation and by forcible suppression of opposition. And in Wikipedia, it says fascism is a far-right authoritarian and ultra-nationalist political idea.
Can't use Wikipedia because Wikipedia should people be changed.
But Wikipedia is also, I think y'all should definitely look into Wikipedia. Wikipedia is one of the most tightly peer-reviewed.
I would use Webster before I use Wikipedia.
We can stop there, but Wikipedia is very accurate for reasons that doesn't matter here. So is that roughly in line with
I remember him using a good amount of those words when it was in there. So it might have been that exact same definition, but I don't want to say it for sure. But it was using a lot of that same subtext, so it might have been that same definition. But that being said, like, he went through that part, and he was like, yes, he's a fascist because of this. And then, because he broke it down. And like I said before, I don't want to misspeak because I can't remember all the words he had to the joint, but...
What's his name again? What's the dude? You said it was his what?
I sent the national group chat.
National Security? I'm not looking through that. You know how many texts are in there?
Thousands.
What is his name? You said he was his national security advisor or something?
He was former chief of staff.
Oh, former... I'm just trying to understand this. John Kelly. So John Kelly, who worked in the first Trump administration, said that Trump is a fascist, and he seemingly interwove the meanings of the word of it.
He went through the definition. He was like, literally, he broke it down spot by spot, going through the definition. I sent this on a group chat. Nigga,
so here,
like,
we're gonna pause and we're gonna look at this and we'll be right back. Talk amongst yourselves. And we're back. So I'll say this. I think the only what's the word I'm trying to say? I think the the only way I could like cast this under a nice light to say that it's accurate, to begin to say it's accurate, would be to say that John Kelly meant it as a pejorative and not in the disciplined sense of the definition. Because by definition, he can't be a fascist because he doesn't exist.
No, you didn't see the whole clip. You got to see the whole clip, bro. You can't sit back and say that, all right, again, you got to see the whole clip on how he's breaking it down. Because, again, he literally starts from the beginning to the end on why and how he views him as a fascist. And that's why I said before, I can sit back and say all day, oh, yeah, I think he's this, I think he's that. But when people work with you at that point, dog, like I said before, bro, at this point, it's just, hey, look, if people gonna believe what they wanna believe, and if we gonna go for this misinformation hole, fine, it is what it is, but like I said before, that's why we deserve what happened, bro. Well, if we can't announce reality, reality, facts, facts, I don't know what else to say.
Well, look, we have a hard out, so what's the takeaway from all of this conversation and the election as a whole?
We deserve what we get. That's what that's how I feel.
Melodies, you got a takeaway?
I don't really have a take. My takeaway is what I'm not trying to do is live in fear. Like, I'm not about to let these either side fear among me to death. Like, I can't. Mm-hmm. The cortisone levels, it's just too much. It's too much. I'm not about to live in fear. So I'm trying to, like, just take get all the information I can as it's coming mm-hmm. in. I've been seeing what's been happening already with the migrant shit. Like, he about to starve them for the next 2 months. And then kick them out. Like, shit is... I didn't vote for him. So, at the end of the day, like, I can't...
I'm with right. you. Right.
I did not vote for him. So, at the end of the day, like, I'm glad I will not be the people to be on the side. Like, I told y'all, this nigga's crazy. Look at him. Y'all voted for him. I'm glad I won't be one of them if shit hit the fan.
But I will be. Because I know people going to text me. I'm going to be like, yep. Bye.
You can't come to us and they'll be like, y'all voted for him.
No, you're right. You can't say that. No, I'm right. But I know my
I went with what I thought at the end of the day. Like, I literally, last minute that morning, I was researching her economy policy and all that. Like, I was trying to figure it out. I wish she would have went in more in depth with that because she didn't really, like, I feel like when you talk about tax breaks, the regular person don't really know how that shit works. And they want the money now. And I, you know, so that tax break shit come on the end if you know how to do your taxes right. But like.
And she didn't say anything about the current tax cut plan that's set to expire in 2025. She didn't say whether she would extend it or not. Again, which would have constituted an increase in taxes to people. And
the reality of it is.
That's not true.
That was her position.
Again, cool. But let's, like, we pretending like, oh, well, she didn't matter. The reality of it is, y'all weren't voting for. I'm not saying y'all in particular. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying this country as a whole. The reality of it is, y'all wasn't voting for. And the same way, again, it's like the ex-boyfriend. You can nitpick on all this shit about your boyfriend before you go back to your ex. But the reality of it is, you was going back to your ex anyway. That motherfucker could have bought you a whole jag, and you still would have went back to the nigga like, all right, cool.
And would you consider those like, the people that were just fed the fuck up with what was going on?
But again... That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter what Kamala said because those people want to vote for Trump regardless. So if you're fed up, there's nothing she's going to say. There's nothing that she's going to do that's going to make you vote for her. So to pretend like true. She's sitting back like, oh, and again, like we can nitpick all day.
That's cool, flat out not true. Because there's a huge cross-section of people who voted for Obama, voted for Bernie in primary, supported Bernie, and also voted for Trump in one or all three of these last three elections.
What does that mean? How can you prove that they will vote
because
for Trump?
Because you can't say that they weren't going to vote for someone that would have, if she would have aligned with what they were looking for. Like, I'm not talking about registered Republicans. I'm talking about, like, there's people who are registered Democrats or independent mm-hmm. who voted for Obama in 08 and or 2012, mm-hmm. who then voted for some, and then it gets even crazier because some either voted for Hillary or Trump in 2016 and then turned around and voted for either Trump or Biden in 2020 and then turned around and voted for Trump or maybe Kamala in 2024. The cross-section is the way things are beginning to be interwoven, at least in the presidential races, is that, and that's why I say, like sitting back, and this is just my takeaway because we can get out of here. I would hope, I'm not confident, but I would hope that some soul searching would be done because that it's that stuff right there. Like, you can't take old, like closely held, like, assumptions and believe that they're still valid today. in today's world. So I would hope that'll happen. I don't think it'll happen,
they but
I would
hope
it'll happen. Can I just add one more thing?
And my last takeaway is make quality candidates a thing again.
Make quality candidates. Can I just add one more thing? Yes.
Can I just add one more thing? And like I said, Barack is right. Like, it wasn't. It was like he saw what everybody else saw, which is why he won when he was running. He saw it right on the wall. It's like, yo, it ain't nothing that she was going to do that was going to be better, that was going to get you that win. If they was even going to vote for you, they weren't. And the people that voted for Trump, they voted for Trump because they was locked in with Trump. All these people sitting back pretending like they swing voters or like they about these big issues or like they really want this, it's not. What people say they want and what they really vote for are always two totally different things.
That coming from the man that turned votes?
Hold on, let me finish. And all I'm saying is, going forward, and then people ask, like, well, what did the Democrats' party change? What did they do? At the end of the day, I'm not looking inward. I'm not looking forward because at the end of the day, y'all chose what y'all wanted. It don't matter what I offer you. It don't matter what I'm saying want to do because at the end of the day, y'all don't choose off of that. It showed me that when y'all kicked Biden out the first time because y'all was sitting back nitpicking when he was giving y'all shit y'all wanted. And then, and like I said before, and I always make that challenge, and Benny and any other motherfucker in this bitch, I always offer the same challenge. When I'm like, all right, show me a president that's done more for black people, motherfuckers get mad, but niggas ain't never come up with an answer. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not about results. It's not about what you do. It's always comes down to it.
I wish they would have done
so who? All right, who's the president that moved for black people? Since Lyndon Johnson.
And Joe Biden?
Since Lyndon Johnson, yeah.
Obama, Clinton.
What did Obama do for black people?
We're not.
You're gonna make me. We had an hour and six. You're gonna make me go back and pull up the points.
We can go to Clinton too.
I wish she would have, instead of just calling him evil and fascist and all that, I wish she would have really broke down what his policies and all that would do versus what her policies and all that would do.
And what she
could have did all that shit level. Like, you gotta, if you wanna counteract the misinformation, break it down to these people. Like, this is what my plan is, and this is what it's gonna do and how it's gonna really affect your life. This is what his plan is, and this is how it's going to trigger down, if anything, and affect your life. Instead of just keep calling this man all the names in the book because y'all going back and forth with the name calling.
And I'm not saying that you're not
here. She could have gave these motherfuckers a whole PowerPoint of this is what I'm going to do. They still would have went for Trump.
But you don't know that because she didn't do it.
The people, I'm telling you, like, so we'll never know. I'll give you a prime example. Because even with the illegal immigrants, how do I know? Because I fucking talk to them. When you talk about deporting people, their thing is, oh, Trump is talking about the criminals. He's talking about the bad guys. He's not talking about me. Motherfucker, you going too. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we can pretend. We can pretend. Like, oh, well, if Kamala, again, it's like if you're working, if you just smile, boy, as a woman, if you just, no, it ain't. End of the day, you already knew what you was going to do. You already knew who you was rocking with. Everything else in front of that shit is just super disingenuous, and it's keeping you from sounding like a bad person. But you knew what you was rocking with from the beginning. And the people that I do respect is the motherfuckers that were honest about it. Like, yo, look, I don't give a fuck what they talking about. I'm voting for Trump. I don't care what she talking about. I'm voting for Trump. But to sit back and pretend like, oh, well, nah, if you would did this or if you would did that, it's like, come on, man. We can't.
But didn't they say the educated population, the college-age students, I mean, the college-age people or whatever, went over to and voted for him?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but he overperformed with younger voters.
So these people aren't dumb. They could have been swayed if she would have explained some more shit.
So again, I can speak for this from experience. Just because you went to college, don't make you smart. And not for nothing, like, again, that don't make you not gullible. It's just like Prime America. There's people with degrees that were signed up for Prime America. There were people with degrees that were signed up for Tisha Nani juice. People signed up for scams and it was never a scam. It was the same thing.
What?
Same
thing. The pyramid.
But yeah, exactly. But to that point, they will come on college campuses to scam college kids because they know they gullible. You know what I mean? So my thing again,
well, if just gullibility won, then that means that people don't know what to believe.
I'm just
gonna go off on
emotion.
No. I feel inclined to agree.
I need to feel this way now. I don't have the brain capacity to think about what you gonna do and try to figure out if it's gonna work for me.
You can't spend 4 years telling people when they say, yo, that, like, I'm feeling it with this inflation shit in the economy, you can't tell them, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. The macroeconomic numbers are great. You can't tell people when they say, oh, I don't know how, like, this dude, is like, his mental acuity is a little off. I'm not feeling his policies. Shut the fuck up and vote for him, and we're not going to have a primary. You can't tell people all for 4 years all of these things, that to not believe what they see and what they and what they're experiencing in their life, and then act surprised when you don't get the outcome that you wanted. Like,
Again, like I said, the outcome is outcome. All I'm saying is just keep that same energy.
Can I change my takeaway? We gotta worry about that shit.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. But if, I'm just saying, if you are a person that voted for him, when things go left, all I'm asking is that you keep that same energy. If you are a black person and you voted for Trump, and then somehow you end up on the wrong side of the police because now they have immunity to do what they want to do, and now they got okay with stopping frisk. Keep that same energy. That's all I'm saying.
My takeaway is...
Don't ask for no gun for GoFundMe. March for me. Protest for me. Y'all made y'all choice, so stay on that side.
I just want to let you know I am a valuable asset. If shit hit the fan and apocalypse come, I have a lot of skill set. whatever community wants to take in, my family that has a farm in their vicinity.
They going
to
be bad too. We already cutting their stuff out.
Like, we can grow our own food.
Mama's going to be stuck too.
I have a concealed carry license. I can do all of the things. I can hunt with you. We can do all these all things. Right. Just protect us.
I'm gonna change. I'm gonna actually amend part of my takeaway. You know what? Democrats, Republicans, whoever the fuck, don't do no reflecting. It don't matter. Like, it just, like I said for a while, it is what it is. No one wants to self-reflect and try to understand why they underperformed. They just want to presume that they didn't underperform, that they actually ran a good campaign even though they lost, and that it must be everyone else's fault but their own. So, you know what, Democrats? Go ahead. Continue being Beto O'Rourke. That's not right. I don't even know why Beto just caught that straight. But you want to keep running. You want to keep running, losing national campaigns, and not sit, not and not money, and not. Go ahead. Be my guest.
Exactly.
Be my guest.
Why not?
Be my guest.
Meta.
But you know what? Don't send one Barack Hussein Obama out to chastise.
And I'm sorry, Barack, as a black man, lie for nothing, bro. We showed you. We disappointed you.
Yeah. Don't send one Barack Hussein Obama to chastise me for and call me an alleged misogynist because, you know, like, 15% of black people instead of 12% of black people voted for the not Democratic nominee who didn't earn a single delegate vote.
Scratch that, Barack. That's Vinny. I apologize. Flash on his back. I let you go, Mr. President Obama. All right. Now, like I said, this is Flash talking. I understand what you went through, and I understand the hell that you went through to get there. And like I said, you are a once in a generation dude. So I'm sorry that we let you down, and that you went through all of that shit for us to throw all that progress away because we're stupid. So, again, personally, I apologize. I wish we were better. That Yes We Can stuff, it was great. But
now we're at the fuck around and find out era.
Exactly. And you did that for nothing.
All right. So, Beer Planners, thank you again for joining us for another spirited debate. We promise to have more laughs and shenanigans in the next episode. But, you know, sometimes things got to be discussed. Sometimes certain topics are just too important to not discuss. So let's everybody get back on their grind. Everybody continue to work to support themselves, their family, and their community. And you know, everybody keep your head up. Until next time, peace.
Good luck.
Wear condoms.